perhaps even distractedness. So we take the mantra, the Harinam, to come closer to that dimension in which the soul resides. Please let us sing again from this deeper place in us. And you will see, it will awaken, it will get strength, the true self. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare
Yeah.
affectionately greet all of you once again. It's such an honor, pleasure, and adventure to be with you for this transformational retreat. It may be different because this type of retreat moves directly to the core of what is happening in solitude. Then the world becomes silent, and eventually our mind becomes calm. The retreat moves directly to the core, this retreat. We want to find inner strengths, which will be there and necessarily needs to be there when we confront change in our life. And change we will confront, because this world is called Jagat, constantly moving into different states. Change is the only certain thing which is there in this world, and yet we are sometimes not equipped to deal with it from a place of security, of stability, of resistance to when something unexpected happens. I think our retreat started very well on a foot of change, no? We find ourselves not surrounded by sand dunes, but by forested mountains, and as we will explore after breakfast, we will go down actually into the most beautiful scenery of, we will go directly to Mother Ganga in the morning. So in this session I will need my wristwatch, because I can't go over time, we will learn a little bit to remain stable in the face of change. By finding our inner Arjuna. I think most of you are well familiar with Arjuna, the warrior, the hero, who had the heart of a warrior. But do we know the inner Arjuna, that which informed his outer actions? That inner Arjuna was crafted, forged in a world of unexpected changes. Now, to make this a little bit more, or to make his story a little more relevant to all of us here, I would first of all like to speak about change in our lives. Change is inevitable. Change is already happening. In fact, change happens in every moment of our lives. Let's take a little moment now to feel that, to become familiar with this. Please sit upright. We have enough air, I think so, no? Close your eyes and bring your awareness to to the simple truth that you breathe in and then you change and breathe out. It's happening. Just watch your breath changing from in to out, then again back to in. Don't make any efforts to control the breath. Let it go in its natural pace, as it's happening naturally. Each moment the breath is moving in and gives you energy, and each moment it changes into breathing out. Go deeper still if you can, and just become aware that every cell in your body is in a constant process of, you could call, personal cell transformation. Each of your cell is doing this in its own pace, if I may. Think of the cells that line the inner gut, no? They are replaced every few days. Think of your skin cells that are replaced every few weeks. Think of the red blood cells that move quickly through your body. They only last a few months. Your muscles and bones renew themselves within 10-15 years. And even your heart, didn't know this, is replacing and renewing itself. Even the DNA can change its expression over time, based on the experiences. You can open your eyes now. This is not a deep meditation, a movement. I will ask Aniruddha to inform our super sensitive crew to not talk during the session. These basic principles of change are reflected on every level of our being. Physically we change. Our thought flow changed. I saw one of you in the midst of the kirtan taking a photo of the beautiful mountains, because the mind said, mountains, click. Our emotions have changed. Our habits change. Our relationships, or at least the way we conduct our relationships, happen. The world we live in is constantly changing. Constantly. I mean, we are aware of very big changes, perhaps, when there are big political movements and you know, changes happening in the world. But there is constant change. Some change happens quickly. We are surprised at that time, perhaps even shocked. Other changes happen more slowly, but they are all evolving over time. This world, my dear, everyone is a world of change. The seasons change, everything. A question: where are you in all these changes? Where is that part in you that is still there tomorrow, or the day after, or in the years? Where is that part that can give you groundedness, centeredness, and confidence in the world of change? We will hear of Arjuna, an individual who was confronted with really earth-shattering changes, and who found his inner Arjuna, his true self, and remained unaffected by what other people would be totally shocked. Other people would have been totally shaken and perhaps started to then, to look into that inner place of security, that sacred space inside where the unchanging self, the supreme self, stays. I would like to chant a prayer with you. We will distribute to you after this session, or do we have the session with the papers already? Your song sheet that will always remain with you throughout. Maybe we can just quickly let them go around, and you will find this particular prayer: Om Ajana Timirandasya Jananjala Salakaya. To invoke this auspiciousness. Perhaps it's the first prayer. This please always keep with you, because we will do a lot of chanting. This is a kirtan retreat. It's the first one. I will just chant it word by word, because some of you may not know. Can I also have a sheet? Dasya Agyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena teachers who have opened our eyes with the light and the form of knowledge. No? So we want to take in these teaching sessions. The morning, we have like 20 minutes is teaching. We want to connect and receive the blessings that this will all go inside, and not to stay theoretically up here, but go into our practical life. Everyone has heard about the mighty warrior Arjuna, who was crafted and developed the heart of a spiritual personality that was so resistant through a series of events and then through the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. It was one day around 3115 before our era, like a dark complexioned boy stood before the gates of the capital of the then civilized world, the Hastinapur. He was heir to the throne of this. He had a beautiful darkish complexion, large and very inquisitive eyes. His curly hair was tied in a bun, a top knot. Do we have someone here weeping? like this. His body was extremely subtle and well built. Our Shivji would immediately have taken inspiration for certain fitness exercises. But he looked like an ascetic. See, he was only 12 years old. With his four brothers, he stood before the closed gates of the capital town Hastinapur, waiting for his uncle to come and let them in. His uncle was blind and he had ruled the kingdom in the absence of the monarch, the Pandu, who had retired to the forests, and he knew now where the five sons of Pandu, my king, the emperor, are back. They are the princes, they will be the next emperors. But this blind Dhritarashtra favored his own sons who were born in the meantime. Arjuna stood in amazement. Later, he was, with much delay, welcomed in the hall where the throne stood, where eventually his older brother, Yudhishthira, would rule. He was in a hostile atmosphere. He was not wanted. Throughout his growing up, and I can't tell this in the short time, his entire story, he was disadvantaged. There were many failed assassinations on his family. Oh. Do you all have heard? Dhritarashtra and his evil sons built a palace of highly inflammable materials. And in the night, when everyone was thought to be fast asleep, this palace was burned. They were supposed to be burned alive by the evil plotting of that uncle who did not want to stand on the side of Dharma, of righteousness. The five boys, as they grew up, were driven in exile. They were attacked with weapons. Finally, war was inevitable. Arjuna did not want the war. We will go with him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna now is knowledgeable in all the astras, but there is a battle before the battle waging in his heart with a fierce intensity. He didn't want war. Isn't that our lives? We seldom seek conflicts. We don't even want the small things like diseases coming in, like challenges, or what to speak of these seismic shifts, you know, this boar. Yet they inevitably find us. There's a material way to face these changes. You protest, you lament, you complain, or there is a way which Rumi describes. The wound is the place where the light enters you, just like the crack in a clay pot is the place where the daylight comes in, come inside. We all have our battles to fight. When Arjuna was brought out on the battlefield by Lord Krishna, who agreed to become his charioteer, he saw on the other side his teacher, who taught him the martial arts, who made him into that warrior prince. He saw his relatives, and he broke down. He said to Arjuna, I want to go, to Krishna. He said to Krishna, I want to go. I don't want to fight this battle. Krishna smiled and he said, just like the battle has found you now, it will always find you, because the other Dhritarashtra and his son Duryodhana had said, the world is too small for us and the Pandavas. There has to be extinction. Cruel. So Arjuna broke down when he was faced with this type of change, an unpleasant change. Some changes are quite pleasant, by the way. His bow slipped out of his hands. He cried. Warriors don't cry. His mouth became dry. And he said, I don't see any solution. Is the world this cruel? Where is truth in all of this with which I can connect and find solace? And then Lord Krishna spoke to him. The first point he made, and this is the first point which will be highlighted during the day again and again, is become first of all who you are. Wake up from the dream and connect with your true self. There's a beautiful poet in he's not so translated. He's a very spiritual person. He said, every day we wake up in the morning and we think we leave the world of our dreams behind. Little do we know that if we don't know ourselves, we enter into much more compelling dreams. Prabhupada called these the dreams while we are awake, the daydream, which is much more illusory than the replay of the day which happens in the night. So Krishna wants to make the point, first find out who you are. My dear everyone, I'm talking this not at the theoretical lecture. I'm talking it, talking about this as one of the projects in my spiritual life, which is absolutely necessary. I'm seeing in my mind, I did not want to talk about this, but a very moving scene, a scene which left me thinking for 30 years. I'm thinking about this scene. I entered into the room where my spiritual master gave his last darshan to 5 of us. One was me. He was already with his foot on the other side. In other words, it was clear he would leave his body within a month or so. It was in London, the town of Chivji. We had come from Germany and we heard that Prabhupada wanted to see Paritu was there. The other's name was starting with H. I forgot. And an immature, still young disciple of his. I remember when I entered this room because he looked so emaciated and so on the other side. I started to cry, and my dhoti, this is, you know, the garment, started to slip even because I was really moved. I don't know how it was possible. Maybe there was a quick movement in my stomach, or I don't know. I quickly sat down without embarrassing myself and looked at him, and we were silent. We all looked at him. He was the main person in our life, our spiritual master. So he looked back. There was a long silence. And he asked, "So, have you understood the path?" His words were, "Have you understood our philosophy?" But what he meant is our whole outlook on the world, you know, and the path of spiritual life. "So, have you understood?" I mean, if someone who's in that situation, where it's clear he will leave us, and his dear asks you such a question, we'll have to bring in a whole world of spiritual teaching and boil it down or something essential which you will present at that moment. We were all at a loss of words, and those who found words found wrong words. It was not right. Then he looked at us, and his voice, very deep, very slow, was, "First of all," he really strained, "you have to understand." I remember I came closer because his voice was a little soft. "That life is eternal." Then he stopped. No further explanation. But of course, he had spoken about this point, and everything he said, not everything, but what we could remember came up. Yes, I'm actually an eternal soul. I'm inhabiting this body, but I'm not the body. I'm not the passing thoughts even. I'm an eternal part of God. I'm divine. First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. Now is not the opportunity. I had my learning lessons in this. When I was in the surgeon's hall and the surgery was performed, I had this out-of-body experiences where I was the witness of what they did on my body, and then couldn't take it any longer to see that my own blood coming out. I remember, and I his words came, "See, your body is lying there, your brain is there, but you are perceiving outside of your brain computer. See, you are not the body." I will, in the end, close this. I will read to you some verses of Krishna. I will read slowly and mindfully. And I request you to be mindful to each word. This is an ancient practice. It is a text meditation, contemplation. I will not put you into anything, just on that battlefield, Krishna said to Arjuna, his first instruction, "Arjuna, you need to understand who you are. There will be a battle now, but the wise do not lament for the living or the dead. Because they know one thing, as the self moves in this body through the changes from childhood to youth and to old age, so it passes into another body at death. The wise are not confused by this change." And Krishna continues, "It is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable, and unchangeable. Knowing this, you should not lament for the external things and the body. No." And the words, that song of God, stretch out to our time. "No, there was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these peoples, nor will there be a time when any of us shall not exist. Allow these words to sink in deeply. Let it pervade your inner space. And when you are ready, turn to your neighbor." I will go with the flutist. Prabhu, flute Prabhu, your good name. Ashishti. Ashishti will play us something. Turn to your neighbor, please. Actually, Ashish needs to play the flute. Reflect with your neighbor about the message you heard today. We started with Ashishi. Beautiful, beautiful. It's not such a big hall, and so we have to. So turn to your neighbor, please. First of all, have you found a neighbor? Hari Namananda, with whom are you? With Gokrishna? Good. We will build a three group, yes. With you, whom are you, Shivji? Here. Everyone found a neighbor? Michael, you found a neighbor? Still in the process. Come on, you are from fast New York, you know. No, you were still contemplating. So, good. Arka, you found someone? Good. So, my first question to you is, who is partner A? Good. And then, who is partner B? Can I have a quick show of hand to just know that everyone found a neighbor? Who is B? Good. B goes first. The question is, what did you hear? What did you, can you take out? Imagine Prabhupada, Vardhat says, so what did you understand? You know, so share that with the neighbor, and the neighbor shares what they heard with you, and afterwards I will introduce a feature in our retreat, which we have developed since a few years, a little surprise, but we have to be now very time efficient. Share just quickly 2-3 sentences. What have you heard in the lecture? Start now. Wonderful. We are need to concentrate a little, my dear everyone. I need to say, we are a team. Hari Namananda, Shiv, Pyari, Pari Puna Radha are Kirtan Dubai, and we are Gokrishna. I'm in the Gokrishna Bhajan band. He is our music in charge. Then there is Banu Nandini, who is doing research and who helps me to develop these retreats and manages the various teams. And I have a very good experience that during a retreat we have also a female voice. So she will always give a summary where we are and guide us. And you can also speak to her, because there are some very deep concepts which you might like to explore more. So would you please get up? We have a microphone for you, and please
from all of you, we have not come to just have a good time, and have some adventurous journeys and sit in nice kirtans, but we can really come because we want to change something in us. We want to find some strength for our internal processes of transformation and spiritual life. And we have all looked for our sankalpa, or the intention for the retreat. So it will be really nice if you can just review it, otherwise it will stay yesterday. And we will hear many more things, and then it will not carry us through the retreat. So for those who were not here yesterday, the question was, why am I here? Like the deep why, what brought me here? And then Maharaj explained that when we remember this sankalpa and connect with it, it's going to carry us and it's going to define our experiences. Because in this retreat, we can be on three levels, attending the retreat on three levels. Level one could be, I'm here, I'm happy to be at the banks of Mother Ganga. I will come for all the sessions and kirtans. I will come for all the wonderful meals, and I will talk and I will stay the same. That would be level one. We had a good experience. We were in India, in Rishikesh. Level two would be, if we do level one, we attend all the classes, we go for all the meals, we talk to our friends, but also we maybe take some time to reflect about what we have heard. Maharaj just now showed us how this could be done. By a simple question after a class or a session, what did I hear? What struck me? So this is going, if you do this, and this is really your retreat, right? So this is going to help you to deepen what we have heard. And you can journal about this, you can take 5 minutes time out for yourself, just think about it, or talk to your roommate, reflect a little bit. So this will be level two, how deep you can go. And level three could be that you do level one and two, but also you go a little deeper. So that would be that you really let go of the regular me, which I know, who is with me all the time. Like Maharaj said yesterday, we are now on a retreat, but there is one person who has come with me. This is myself. So we need to let go a little bit of this self who we are, whom we know, with whom we are spending 24 hours a day with. And maybe use this opportunity that we are at the banks of Mother Ganga, in a holy place in Rishikesh, where for millenniums saints and sages and yogis gathered. And like Maharaj said this morning, they took their attention away from the external world, away from their own thoughts, away from their own feelings, and they looked inside towards the self. And so this was the theme of this morning's meditation and also of this class, to really look for who we are in everything. Who we are not is taken away. So who is that eternal me? And how can I access it? And then in this morning class, Maharaj, about Inner Arjuna, he shared with us that because we live in a world of change, we will be very grounded and we will be able to deal with this change if we really find that place in us. Otherwise, we will be overwhelmed with feelings, with thoughts, and life will carry us, and like we have heard. Everything changes, our skin cells, our bones, everything. It's constantly getting older, and life is just a brief moment, a very short journey. But reflection and introspection, meditation, will help us to come to this place. So we would advise you to try to take some time out, sit by yourself, really. We will also go with you to the Mother Ganga, and there Maharaj will guide us in a session where we can be a little bit with ourselves, but not with our thoughts, but the true self, and you know, be with Mother Ganga and pray and try to go deep, because this is your retreat. Otherwise, we will be on level one. coming for classes, having nice company, eating nice meals, and we'll go back to our lives. Okay, that's for now. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Very helpful. Not in, to know the guideline. I will ask Harinamananda Prabhu to just tell us what is next.